A broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll meet the star and director of the Waverly Gallery from Backyard Renaissance Theater. But first, Saturday, November 29th, San Diego Symphony's Jazz at the Jacobs series kicks off its new season with a performance of John Coltrane's iconic 1958 album, Blue Train, led by trumpeter and series curator Gilbert Castellanos, with saxophonist Brian Levy, trombonist Ivan Malespin, plus a rhythm section of pianist Victor Gould, bassist Mike Garola, and drummer Joe Farnsworth. Joining me to preview this rare performance of Blue Train in its entirety and the full Jazz at the Jacobs series are Gilbert Castellanos and saxophonist and jazz historian Brian Levy, who's also the director of jazz studies at San Diego State University. Gilbert and Brian, it's great to have you both back with us on Inside Art.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Dave.
Gilbert, let's talk a little bit about your choice of this as part of your season. The Blue Train. You've done a couple of these albums in concert previously, and then what was your idea behind Blue Train?
Well, I've always wanted to do Blue Train, and it's something that has been on the back burner for years now, ever since I started the series with the symphony. And when Brian moved into town, I knew that it was definitely high time to pull this off, and I'm just really happy that we can finally do it on November 29th with an incredible ensemble.
Brian, you being somewhat of the jazz historian among the group here, what is the significance in particular, if people are not aware, of Blue Train in the whole catalog of John Coltrane?
Well, Blue Train is from 1957, and I think that it really stands out among his records from the 1950s. It's I think there was more production involved. It's for Blue Note Records. It involved a sextet, more writing. I mean, Coltrane recorded probably 20 or more studio recordings in the mid-50s while he was with Miles, but I mean, of his own. But I don't know, this record just feels more polished. There's high-level playing. You know, you have Philly Joe Jones on drums. Lee Morgan, I think, is about 18 years old. Curtis Fuller on trombone. There's great arrangements. And it's just an exciting journey, the album. And it's always been one of my favorite records. Not necessarily just of Coltrane's playing, just everyone involved in the production. It's a really exciting record.
Well, in my own little research before doing this, I found out that this was one of those situations where the ensemble members were allowed to rehearse before they got to the studio. So they were paid to during the rehearsal, which was not the case for a lot of other jazz recordings at Blue Note or other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the other records for John Coltrane, I mean, I think most of his studio recordings were in 1958, and you know, they tend to be just almost like a jam session. There's just like they play standards. I mean, they're great, right? I mean, Coltrane sounds incredible on those albums, but Blue Train's definitely more rehearsed. I mean, you have a larger group. It's their arrangements, and I mean, there's one thing that was exciting for me is I was able to hear all of the alternate takes. And what I grew up listening to is Blue Train. It turned out that those were not just single takes, that there's spliced solos and head in, head out, which kind of shocked me when I first heard that.
And what excites you the most as a saxophone player to be able to perform this, you know, all the tunes all the way through?
Well, it's a great honor to be asked to perform on this concert, and by Gilbert. Gilbert's you know, one of my heroes, and of course Lee Morgan and John Coltrane are, I think, Gilbert and my biggest heroes. So it's a great honor to pay tribute to John Coltrane's music, to his early music. I know that, like, probably the first solos that I learned as a saxophonist were from this record. When I was about, I can't remember, 14 or 15, I was trying to, you know, I learned his solo on Blue Train and Moment's Notice. So it's kind of coming back to my roots. I mean, one of my favorite stories about John Coltrane is about this album. After the album was released, there was a famous classical, I think she was a composer named Zita Karnow, and she transcribed John Coltrane's solo on Blue Train, and then sent a letter to Coltrane with the transcription. And when Coltrane received the letter, he didn't know who it was. Of course, he recognized, oh, this is his solo. And then finally, a few weeks later, Zita Carno called up Coltrane on the phone and revealed that she is the one who transcribed him. And they got together and she asked him to play the solo, and he said he can't because it's too hard.
Well, Gilbert, why don't you share with us, there are five selections on the album. So maybe you can talk about each one of those and, you know, how they're going to be performed.
Well, we're going to play the album the way it was recorded in the exact same order. We're going to obviously we're going to do Blue Train, Moment's Notice, Lazy Bird, I'm Old Fashioned, and
Locomotion.
That's right. And the fact that we have this phenomenal rhythm section, in my humble opinion, Joe Farnsworth's the closest thing to having, you know, someone play in that style. And of course, Mike Carolla is one of my favorite bass players. And Victor, I remember Victor when he was in high school. I just remember mentoring him when he was going to the Los Angeles School for the Creative and Performing Arts. And I would have him come down here and play with me at Disney's when it was on 7th Avenue. And even back then, I knew this kid was, he was going to be a big deal. And he is. And we're just thrilled to have them here with us in San Diego in a couple of weeks.
Now, you're also bringing in some of your Young Lions Jazz Conservatory for a pre-concert set, aren't you, Gilbert?
That's correct. And we're using the exact same instrumentation. So it's going to be a sextet playing some of John Coltrane's music. Obviously, not the Blue Train stuff, but they're picking some very nice tunes for their set. So I can't wait to hear them. They invited me to the rehearsal, but I told them I just want to be surprised at the concert.
Well, now the album, as I recall, was about 45 minutes in length at the time. So I imagine you're going to fill out your set with some other material, too.
Yeah, so the Blue Train set will be the second set, the second part of the program for the evening's program. And the first set, Brian came up with a great set of music. And maybe Brian can talk a little bit about that, which includes one of his original compositions.
Oh, please do tell, Brian.
Okay, so I think we're the first set, we're going to, one of my favorite, I mean, I guess this whole Blue Train concert and 1957 John Coltrane, Gilbert was really making me think about 50s John Coltrane. And one of the first pieces we're going to do is called On a Misty Night, which was written by Tad Dameron. And it's from one of my favorite recordings of Coltrane, maybe my favorite, 1956. It's a Tad Dameron album called Mating Call. And so we're going to play that piece, On a Misty Night. It's just a beautiful melody. And we're also playing a piece that I'm not less familiar with, but Gilbert suggested it from a record that Coltrane did with Art Blakey. What's the name of the one we're doing? Midriff?
Oh, it was from a big band record that he recorded with Art Blakey. But there's two or three selections where it's just a quintet with Donald Byrd. Right. And the name of the tune is called Tippin.
All right, Tippin, yeah, which is kind of a minor blues. And I'm kind of debating, do I want to play After the Rain or Naima? Or one of my favorite ballads that Coltrane recorded is called It's Easy to Remember. And it's funny with that particular number, because when John Coltrane recorded it it was released on his ballads album, he recorded something like 12 takes. And I think all the other ballads are just one or two takes. And it's kind of curious, why did Coltrane do so many takes? And if you listen to every take, it's completely different what they do in the rhythm section and the feel and the tempo. So I have an arrangement that kind of blends together a few different versions that Coltrane recorded. And then the final piece of the set is an original of mine that's inspired by kind of a combination of Coltrane's third relations music from Giant Steps and his modal period. It's called a tune of mine called World is Will that is going to, you know, feature the whole sextet.
So we're talking about Blue Train in concert, which also includes another set of both Brian Levy original and John Coltrane tunes, and the preset by members of the Young Lions Jazz Conservatory. Now, Gilbert, this is the first concert of the season for Jazz at the Jacobs. What else you got planned for the remaining two shows?
Oh, we have an exciting series coming up. So on Saturday, February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, we're doing Songs for Lovers featuring Charles McPherson, Melissa Morgan, Randy Porter, Luke Little, Willie Jones III, and myself on trumpet. So that's going to be a very special concert. And we're not really playing, obviously, we're not playing ballads the entire night, but we are playing standards that are related to love and lovers. And so we're going to have a great time with that program. And on April 4th, we are doing the Dave Brubeck Time Out album featuring Josh Nelson, Sarah McCabe on alto saxophone, Luca Alemano on bass, and Joe LaBarbera on drums.
Well, it is an exciting space to have music in. That new symphony space is just fantastic for all kinds of performances. As a musician, what is your feeling about performing in the Jacobs Music Center now that they've really enhanced it?
You know, to be honest, Dave, I've performed there now probably 3 times, and I honestly think that you don't need any amplification in that space. It's just incredible. It's like one of my favorite places to play at now. And Brian, you're going to love it, and I know that you're going to feel the same way, because I feel with less amplification, you really get that natural sound of all of the instruments. And not only that, we're trying to capture that blue note vibe too. So I think that if we can really aim for that with little amplification as possible, then it's just going to make the concert extra special. And there's not one bad seat in the house. I mean, it doesn't matter where you sit in that beautiful auditorium. It's like anywhere in the house is a perfect seat.
All right. Well, while we've got you here, Brian, maybe you could also preview your series of guests, special guest concerts that are coming up from the SDSU jazz program. Anthony Wilson, I think, is the first one up February 25th and 26th.
Sure. Well, it's been really exciting. This is my third year at SDSU as the director of jazz studies. And this semester, we've had 3 really amazing concerts. We had Ignacio Baroa, a great Latin drummer, jazz and Afro-Cuban drummer, visit us in September. That was just an amazing concert. Gilbert Castellanos performed on that. In October, Jane Monite, our newest faculty member, she gave a vocal concert that featured something else that's new at San Diego State. We have a new vocal program. And then last week, we had Aaron Goldberg here, a great jazz pianist from New York. And that concert also featured me and Gilbert with great bassist Ben Williams. Next semester, we're looking to have 3 more guest artist concerts, and 2 of those we know about. In February, the end of February, on the 25th and 26th, we have the great jazz guitarist Anthony Wilson performing at San Diego State. He'll do a jam session on the 25th and then a concert on the 26th. And I just heard Anthony perform, and Gilbert was featured in that band, and it's an incredible, I mean, he's one of the best jazz guitarists I've ever heard, honestly. It sounds like McCoy Tyner on the guitar, and just his music and writing is off the charts. So I'm so excited that he's going to be there, and I hope everyone can come check that out. And then in April, we have one of my heroes, Jerry Berganz. He's going to be visiting San Diego State for the 2nd time. He'll be there on the 6th and 7th of April.
So we hope to have Jerry Bergonzi on the program right here at Inside Art. We're looking forward to that and your upcoming concerts with SDSU. And before that, of course, with the San Diego Symphony Jazz at the Jacobs Series and Blue Train coming up with Gilbert Castellanos and a host of great musicians on Saturday, November 29th. Thank you both, Gilbert and Brian, for joining me on Inside Art to talk about all this.
Thanks, Dave, for having us.
Thank you, Dave. We really do appreciate all that you do for our community.
San Diego Symphony's Jazz at the Jacobs Series presents John Coltrane's Blue Train in Concert, Saturday, November 29th at the Jacobs Music Center downtown. A pre-show concert features members of the Young Lions Jazz Conservatory at 6:30 p.m. You can purchase tickets and learn more at sandiegosymphony.org. Coming up, we'll meet the star and director of the Waverly Gallery from Backyard Renaissance Theater Company. That's next as Inside Art continues here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego.
To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate.